started out in St. John chapter 1 last Sunday, and then we moved to Matthew 16, but I didn't get nearly finished with that message, and I had some other thoughts this week, last night in preparation, studying, so I'll give this a little different title here a little bit later on in the message, but for right now, I'd like you to turn your attention to Matthew chapter 16, and we'll begin reading verse number 13. If you have that, want to read with us? For some reason, I don't think am I up? Matthew chapter 16, and we'll begin reading at verse number 13. We'd love to have your participation. You know, I believe the Word of God is powerful. I believe it's quick, alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I just like to take some time often to remind us again, and I've done it a couple times lately, but I feel compelled to do it again because I want to keep it in front of us. This book that you're holding, some of you are holding, some of you are reading the words on the screen, but this thing that we call the Bible. You know, the Bible, not anywhere in it says the Bible. It only says it on the front of your cover there. You know, the Bible doesn't say it's the Bible, but it is. The Bible is the Word of God. And this precious book that you're holding in your hand, or if you see a scripture on a sign, just know that it come by great price and sacrifice. And we take it for granted, and I'm still happy to... proud to say it is the number one bestseller book yet. Amen. And I'm grateful for that. I really am. I'm thankful. But I'm glad for the availability. But there was a time that the Word was held in darkness. And you know, we'll read it to you. We'll tell you what it means. And God moved on some people to translate it. It was hid. It was kept in Latin, and no one learned Latin to understand it except only the priest. Thank God for those, again, with price. Many of them died. Some were burned at the stake, tortured, suffered, so we could stand here today. Praise God. You know, there wouldn't be anything wrong with every once in a while we just pick it up. Hold it to our lips. Hold it to our heart. And thank God for this wonderful Word. Praise the Lord. All right, let's read it together. Verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. But he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've been some time trying to express and to teach and to show the saints that I get to preach to on a regular basis who we are in Christ. And I say it again, I still believe that if I can start believing who I am and get an understanding of who I am, and you can start believing who you are and get an understanding of who you are in Christ, it will change the way we live our Christian life. Amen. It'll change the way we go to church. It'll change the way we witness. It'll change a whole lot of things in our thoughts about some of our preconceived ideas of what we've already had. Amen. But also in that, there's another component. For us to really understand who we are in Christ, we have to have a I'm going to say it again. I believe that we, every one of us, must have a revelation of who He is. And I'm telling you right now, I believe with all my heart, that is the reason why people struggle. That's the reason why young people sometimes go into their early adulthood and sometimes late into life, even though they've been in church and been in Christian school and been in Sunday school and never have a relationship or what we call an experience, amen, to really be born again, because they never come to an understanding of who He is. Amen. We can tell them all about Christ. We can tell them how He was born. We can tell them how He died. We can tell them how He was resurrected. We can teach them the commandments. We can do all sorts of things. But unless they have that same experience, oh, hallelujah, that Peter had right here in this setting I read to you about, where all of a sudden, even though he had been with Jesus, even though he had been introduced to Jesus, even though he had heard other people's opinion of Jesus, amen, that day he got a revelation. I know who you are. You're the Son of the living God. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the one we're looking for. You're it. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We talk about sometimes people being in church, being raised in church, brought to church, amen, taught the commandments, sometimes taught a creed and live a code, amen, and do all kinds of things. But all of a sudden, one time in prayer, one time on the altar, amen, and all of a sudden it's like a light comes on, and they'll look up at you and say, "Why didn't you tell me it was like this?" Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, I hope I'm helping somebody in here this morning. Amen. Peter got that revelation. It doesn't matter who the others say. Some said you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah. Amen. I'm forgetting about all of that. I know you're the Christ. I know you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks back at him and he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but the Spirit of my Father which is in heaven." It's God, Peter. It's our collective Father, Peter, that has revealed himself to you about who I am. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, if we'll get a hold of that, if we'll believe that, if we'll receive that, if we'll really get a revelation of who He is, amen, the preacher will quit having, he won't ever have to tell you what to wear. He won't ever have to tell you where to go. Amen. He won't have to spend a lot of time. You'll be so in love with Him. You'll be so enamored by His revelation. You'll be so focused on Him, amen, that God will deal with you before the preacher ever gets around to talk about it. Shout hallelujah in here this morning. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to take you quickly to St. Mark chapter number 4, chapter number 5 of St. Mark. I know that chapter 5 is very familiar, and that's where I'm going to spend some time here today, and I'll be giving you the title here in a few minutes. Amen. I'm making a slight turn here, but I'm still trying to preach and teach to you the same thing here this morning. Amen. To really understand the situation that takes place in Mark chapter 5. And we know all about that, the Gadarenes and the man that dwelled in the tombs and all that. That's Mark chapter 5. I know you Bible readers know that. But if you take the setting of Jesus speaking and teaching, he had begun to open his mouth and speak to the people in parables. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Multitudes had begun to follow him. He had called in chapter 3 those 12 apostles, naming them, enumerates them in chapter 3, and he begins to train them and mentor them and disciple them and teach them. Amen. God began to work through him, Brother Arnold. Amen. And masses and multitudes of people begin to flock around him. Amen. He was going from city to city. Even his own people, even the mother of Christ, Christ and his brethren were concerned about him. They even said, I can read this to you, it's in chapter 4. They were concerned about his mental state. They were concerned about his condition. And you will remember that place that multitudes was around him. Jesus had went into the house and there were so many people that had packed into that house because he was there that somebody got him word. After a few days, we heard he's in the mountains. We've heard he's over here on the coast. And his mother and his brothers and sisters were trying to find him so they could bring him back home. Are y'all with me? Some of you kind of looking around a little bit. Mary and his brothers and his sisters, it does not mention his father here, but they were worried about the well-being of Christ. And when he's in the house, somebody finally got his attention, Brother Troy, and said, your mother and your brethren are outside. They've been looking for you. They've been worried about you. There's so many people around you and they don't understand it and they know you're tired and they'd like for you to come back home and be a part of the family, and they're outside wanting to talk to you. Jesus looked around and said, you see these people that's sitting around me? They are my mother and they are my brethren. Amen. Come on, help me preach here. Amen. Jesus teaches them in chapter 4. He teaches them about seeds. He teaches them about ground. He teaches them about thorns. He teaches them about roots. He teaches them about candles. And he teaches them about candlesticks. Amen. All of that is happening in chapter 4. About maybe verse 35 or so, somewhere down in that chapter. I'm trying to get you the picture here. The day has passed. He's talked about seeds. He's talked about mustard seed. He's talked about lights. I've already told you, and candlesticks. And ground, and good ground, and thorny ground. And all day long, the day has passed. And now it's even in verse 35. Probably the evening shadows are starting to fall. And Jesus says, let us go to the other side. Why are you saying that, preacher? Just follow me here just a minute. He's talking to them. He's giving them parables. And then he's saying, look, instead of just teaching you now, I'm going to show you something. Let us go over. If you go back and read this setting, Jesus is already in a ship. He has been teaching them from a ship. The multitudes were on the shore, and he was using the bow, I guess, of that ship for a pulpit. He said, "Let's go to the other side." They get in that ship and start across. The Bible says there's other little ships that surround him, and they're all going across to the other side. Amen. Praise God. Now let me talk to you just a minute. Amen. From where they were, they knew what was on the other side. It's only 5 miles across that sea where they were going across. And you're not telling me that they hadn't heard about a man that lived in the tombs. Amen. Let me tell you a little bit about that. That wasn't necessarily tombs or a graveyard like we think about. That was, and it says this man dwelt in the mountains. These were rocky cliffs and caves where people would bury their dead up in those places. And this demoniac man lives among the dead. Are y'all still with me? And they know, and no doubt the disciples know, we heard about a wild man that lives across this ocean. It wasn't an ocean, but a sea or a lake. Jesus, now wait a minute, we're not going at night, are we, Lord? I mean, it's bad enough to go over there in the day with that madman, but it's going to really get creepy if we go at night. Amen. And by the time we make 5 miles across this lake, it's going to be dark. And you know that man's over there screaming and all of these things. We don't want to go over there. Let's don't go tonight, Lord. Let's wait. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I hope I'm helping you here this morning. I'm really trying to, amen. Praise God. They get to that place. They have a lot of trouble, and I don't have time to preach all that and get too long. They have a storm and all those things going over, amen, but they finally get there, amen, and as soon as they get there, that man comes out of those tombs and those mountains. He don't wear any clothes. He goes around naked. He's been cutting himself with knives. I want you to try to get a mental picture of a man that is scarred, a man that is torn, a man that has been chained with big chains, and by the strength that he had because of those demonic spirits, amen, he said he had plucked those chains asunder. It didn't matter how big they were. When that spirit moved on him and he wanted to go to those dead bodies in the tombs, there was nothing that could hold him. Amen. Come on now. If you've heard what I preached the last couple of weeks, that was not a surprise to Jesus. All the time he's telling them about roots and telling them about trees and telling them about mustard seed and telling them about lights and candlesticks. I believe he's hearing a sound from across that sea of a desperate cry of a man that's tormented, a man that needs somebody to rescue him. Take you back to my previous sermons. If he knew Simon before anybody ever introduced him to him and said, I know who you are. Amen. You're Simon, the son of Jonah. Amen. You're not telling me for one moment that Christ was surprised. Amen. I need a little bit more here. Amen. That Christ was surprised. Amen. To find a wild man on the other side. He knew exactly they were going to meet him. He wanted those disciples to see it. He wanted to take what they had learned in chapter 4 and show them a practical application of what they could do with faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I want God to do something in here this morning. Amen. And with this, I will give you my title. Amen. We kind of took a little while to get here to it. Amen. But the title is Identity Theft. I know that's a cliche. I know we hear a lot about it. I know you're warned about it from your bank. And you get things in the mail all the time. But I'm preaching to you about a man that had his identity stolen. His life had been taken away. His quality of life was destroyed. He was an outcast. He had to dwell in the mountains. Amen. Everybody would run him off if they seen him coming. No doubt they would shout at him, amen, like a wild animal to chase him away. He was lost. He was dying. He was desperate. But thank God Jesus knew who he was and knew how to help him. Can y'all hear me all right? Seem like it's... Thank you, Jesus. Identity. Now, follow me with what I've been preaching and teaching already. When Jesus pulls up on the shore, this man that has had his identity stolen runs out to meet him. Amen. He fell down and worshiped him, and he said, now compare and contrast this. You remember? He says, Simon, before anybody introduced him, Simon, son of Jonah. He already knew him. You remember when Philip finds Nathanael and brings Nathanael to Jesus? Before he ever got there, he said, I know, I saw you under the fig tree over there. I know. Behold an Israelite in whom is no guile. Amen. But it wasn't this way with Jesus. This man walked up and recognized him first. And he said, listen to this. A demonic possessed man says to Jesus, I adjure you by God. Don't tell me demons don't know about the spirit world. And they don't know who God is. First things out of his mouth, I adjure you. I know who you are. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. Amen. Almost sound like he has the same revelation Peter has. Amen. Oh, I'd like to help somebody right here, and I'm getting close. I'm really about through preaching. I about got us where I think where we need to be. Amen. This man's identity had been stolen, and Jesus says to him, because he had commanded that unclean spirit to go out, and he says to him, "What's thy name?" Amen. And he says, "Our name." In other words, our name is Legion. For we are many. That was a lie. You hear me? That was a lie. That man's name was not Legion. His mama didn't take him out of the womb and name him Legion. His identity had been stolen. Those spirits had taken him over and they had changed his name. Amen. Till it was no longer Arnold. It was no longer Galen. It was no longer Troy. It was no longer Brad. Amen. Forgive me. I love these brethren. I'm not leaving off the handle. I'm just saving some time here. His mama did not name him Legion. There was a time. Amen. Hear me preach now. He probably had a wife. He probably had children. For sure he had a mother and a father. Somebody that loved him. Probably aunts and uncles and cousins. But now because his identity is stolen, he has no place to go. But only the tombs. Hallelujah. Amen. Till Jesus comes and he finds him and he rescues him. Here's a man that is legion. Amen. A Roman squadron. A legion would have probably been somewhere around 6,000. Amen. And that man knew that. He had seen those legions of Romans that would come in and take over a town and take over a nation. And he says, I've been taken over. I've been possessed. My name is Legion, for we are many. Amen. But Christ looked at him and commanded those spirits to leave. And the next thing we know about him, he is back home. He is clothed and in his right mind. I wish somebody praise God in here this morning. He's been given back his life. His identity's been given back because Jesus. Because Jesus knew who he really was. I feel God in here this morning. He knew who he was. You're not hiding anything from him. There's not any hurt. I feel God in here this morning. I'm feeling that anointing coming on. There's not any abuse. There's not any violation. There's not anything ever happened to you in your life that God doesn't know about. Amen. Hear me preach this morning. And yet he is willing to come to you. He is willing to call your name. He is willing to look at you and say, I know who you are. And you are not who you say you are. You are not the face you're putting on. Your identity has been stolen. Amen. I want to preach to you. God wants to give you back your innocence. He wants to give you back your life. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. He wants to restore who he knows that you're supposed to be. And it's not legion. It's not to go around with scars. It's not to go around being somebody else. Amen. People try to do that and mask over with something else. But God all the time knew who he was. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He knows you. There's a reason when everybody else gives up on everybody else's children, but we never give up on ours because we know what they're supposed to be. Woo! Everybody else may give up. Everybody else may mark them off. Everybody else may not give them the time of day, but a mom and a dad, amen, a grand praying grandmother will not give up on that child because they knew them in their innocence. They know their qualities. They know their good characteristics. And for that reason, they will not, because they know who they are. Amen. To other people, they become reprehensible and nobody wants to be around them and nobody wants to talk to them and nobody wants to help them anymore. Amen. And you know what happens to them? They become like the demoniac in the tombs. They go where they will be accepted. They go where somebody will make them feel at home because everybody else has given up on them. And the reason it's like that is because their identity's been stolen. That's all that's wrong with our children that's lost. That's not who they are. That's not who they intended to be. That's not who God told me they were going to be. Amen. That's the reason I don't give up, because I know. Amen. And I don't know like Christ knows, but I do understand a certain amount, amen, of who they are and what God wants to do in their life. But when they're like this, their identity is stolen. They're not really living out who they're supposed to be. They're really not living out what God intended for them to be because of identity theft. Hey man, I'm using this cliche. I'm trying to make a print on your mind. We're afraid. We're scared to death of it. You know, I've been working on your house up there, Brother Troy. And you may have been up there the other day when Brother Thomas pulled that 4-foot level out that Brother Joe Green, his dad, gave to him. And I'm surprised he left it with us. It's treasured to him, Brother Bruce. He pulled it out and he said, "This was Dad's level." Keeps it in a nice case, keeps it looking good. He said, "Look here, it's got his name right on it." And right there by his name, amen. Now follow me now. You young people are going to think this is funny. Right there under his name is his full Social Security number. Amen. Different day, isn't it? We don't do that nowadays. No, no, no. But in those days, I mean, our first stock trailer, that's how we identified the Social Security number right there on the back of it. Everybody could see it that wanted it. But because of identity theft. Am I hitting home with anybody here this morning? Your identity's been stolen. But Jesus knows who you are. He knows who you really are. He knows what you can be. He's got a plan for you. He's got something in mind for you. Oh, my friend, come to him. And let him bring forth in you what he sees you can be. I know you, Simon Barjona. I know who you are. But you're going to be Cephas, a stone. I see what I'm going to make you. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Are y'all praying with me, church? You working with me a little bit here? Don't you dare worry about them crying babies. I can preach over them. Sometimes they have to cry on the pew. It's not the will of God to jump up and run out with them every time they lie, every time they cry or lie. You heard what that one little boy's definition of a lie was, didn't you? He said, "Son, what's a lie?" He said, "It's abomination in the sight of God, but it's a very present help in the time of trouble." That's what a lie. Sometimes that's the way it is, isn't it? Sometimes people use it to cover something up. I can't help it, but I want to sing it again. Oh, he knew me, yet he loved me. Let's just sing it without music. He whose glory makes the heavens shine so unworthy of such mercy. Oh, when he was on the cross. I don't understand it. I'll never understand it. Why would you take time out of training your disciples and teaching your disciples? They needed to know about roots and ground and lights and candlesticks. Amen. But you pull them away from that to go across the sea to one man that's had his identity stolen. You're going to call him out. Amen. Oh, glory, glory, glory. I want somebody to be thinking about a song. I feel God trying to move in here this morning. Amen. No doubt. One day he had a mom and a dad and a family. I'm just going to share this with you a little bit here. And I hope you're not thinking I'm being too carnal. I'm telling you, this maybe will bring some folks back. When we start hearing this song, Brother Kenneth and Sister Sherry, and was kind of moving out on the edge, you know. But it's got some good words in it. The Oak Ridge Boys made it famous. But I looked this up last night. I want to read it to you because I think this illustrates the man that had his identity stolen. Amen. Said among the local taverns, there'll be a slack in business. Because Jesse's drinking came before the groceries and the kids. Among the local women, there'll be a slack in cheating. Because Jesse won't be stepping out again. Woo. The scars on Jesse's knuckles were more than just respected. The county courthouse records tell all there is to tell. Amen. The pockets of the gamblers will soon miss Jesse's money. Woo, hallelujah. And the black eye of the law will soon be well. Why? Because they baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. Jesus gained a soul. I'm telling you, that's what happens when you get your identity back. He'll change you. He'll turn you around. Amen. God will do something in your life. He knows who you are. He knows who you really are. Amen. Some people even change their name and change their identity. But God always knows who you are. From now on, Nancy Taylor can proudly speak with neighbors. Tell them how much Jesse took up with little Jim. This is the part that made me remember this. Now Jimmy's got a daddy. And Jesse's got a family. Woo! Franklin County has got a lot more man. Oh, I'd love to help somebody in here this morning. This somebody that you live around don't even know who you are. They don't even remember how you was before you became possessed by that devil. They don't even know what kind of loving individual you was. Amen. I'm preaching to you this morning with tears. Amen. I want to bring you back. I want to rattle you a little bit. Amen. I believe I'm preaching to somebody here this morning that has had their identity stolen.